can't see you, but you can see me. Remember, we have some of our elders actually watching our YouTube and watching our Facebook, and hope that we can get some engagement. Remember, if you got any question, just say hi, just remember to post or like us. If you're first time here, my name is Jimmy Yan. I'm the pastor of this church, of Ringwood Community Church. We have come to the very end of the Born Again session. If you have missed out the previous three sessions, by all means, go to our YouTube and visit. There is we have every week on record, and it's there. You can always revisit that. All right. How do you like the song just now? The Amazing Grace. A bunch of blokes that sing that kind of song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King. You know, and you know, to see a bunch of blokes like doing music like this, it just bring the joy to me. And when I found the clips, I was on top of my head and imagining that wow, if when this COVID-19 is over, we maybe want to organize some. We got a bunch of blokes that is in our church, and maybe get a bunch of blokes to do this, you know, and then do something like this and create our own music. But anyway, despite that joke, but it's a dream that we can put forward to. Now, when we come to this born again, it's not a dream that we can we just dream and do nothing. God will not do that to us. God always brings the reality to us. When He tells us the truth, that is a reality. It's not going to change for any circumstances. When we talk about this born again, there's so many times I get people uncertain about, oh, what do you mean by born again? Even though when you understand, or when you read the Bible, it seems that you understand. But when you really sit down and think about it, are there times that you doubt yourself? Now today, when we come to this part of the born again, the final part where Jesus was talking to this dialogue, it's talking about the outcome. So he asked, posed the questions of what is it for you? What are you going to do about it? What is this born again going to do to you? What is it going to do to me? So for people who have been following Jesus diligently, now this is for you. This is to affirm your faith when you read it. When you read it, it should bring the joy from you and tell you that you are on the right track. And for people who are backslide, or people who have somehow, slowly over the years, maybe you have been a Christian for too long, that you have lost grip of your faith and slowly moving back or moving somewhere else, for that reason, this is a wake-up call for you. And God is trying to tell you, and Jesus is trying to tell you, wake up, be strong, and carry on, repent, and come back. And for people who are seeking, now this is for you too. It's telling you now is the time. All right, now is the time. Can you still remember when COVID-19 caught us off guard? When God come again, the exact things are going to happen. Time to decide. Have you been sitting on a fence for too long? Lately, I just spotted that my fence between me and my neighbor has been rotting away. It's your fence. But one day, your fence is going to rot. So make that decision before it rots. And for the unreached, people who have heard it for the first time, this is for you too. It is a good news for you that you can ever walk into the light. How do you know the light? Were you living in darkness? I don't know I was living in darkness in the past until I met Jesus. Simple as that. It's good news for you. God loves you. God wants you to be part of His family, and so that you can embrace that love that He has for the family. So church, which category of friends, which category are you at right now? This is a question for you. Today's message is for you. And it is the same message that we come to the end, the final, where Jesus taught you must be born again. If you want to see the kingdom, if you want to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. This is the most important dialogue Jesus ever had with a man, with a person. All right. So if you revisit that, rethink, it's supposed to affirm your faith. It's supposed to give you confidence. It's supposed to give you the joy, that good news, that love that you needed. So we come to see, and let me just want to point out that this born again is not from us. It's not something that we can earn. All right. If it's not something that we can earn, oh, how do I know I got it? All right. When I want to purchase something, last week I shared, when I want to purchase something, I got a product in my hand. I can see, I can feel, I can touch. But this born again, what you're talking about, we are only based on the truth, based on our faith in Jesus Christ. And from the source, when you say, the source is from God. God has to be the giver. God has the grace to give. Our Father is the provider of life. So He gives, He's the source of this born again. And you have to go through the process. The process, normally we take it into our hands. But Bible says no. Jesus said, no, the process is the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that you ever hear the gospel. You ever believe in the gospel. You ever believe in Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that you are born again. Remember, Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also tells us that the only way, and what have you got? The Father is the source, the Holy Spirit is the process, and the only way is Jesus Christ. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. Church, can you see this here? This is a confirmation. This is the divine work, salvation work of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus just using this dialogue and just seal it with His blood to make this thing work. Where is our part in this? When you look at the dialogue, there's no part that even ever mentioned. But today, we come to the final part about the outcome. That involves us. That is something that Jesus is presenting to us. This is what you should do, what you can do. All right? And when we look at this, when we talk about the way of believing in Jesus, what do we believe in Jesus? We have to believe. We believe Jesus is a fully God and a fully man. He has been God since the very beginning, before you and I even be created. He has been fully man, so that He can be the mediator. It was man who sinned, right? So, to be a fully man, then He can take our place. Then He can fill our place. Then He can stand with us. He can become the mediator between God and us. And then He can become our Savior when He went up to the cross as a sinless man and take on our sin. What does that give you? When you believe in Jesus in such a way and follow Him, this brings a shift of your faith from anything, in everything, to Jesus Christ alone. And this gives you a new heart for a new life. A new heart for a new life. How do you get that new heart of a new life? It triggered. This new heart was shaped and triggered and filled by the Holy Spirit, by the Father, and by Jesus. If you believe. So we come to the final part. As we come to the final part, it talks about us. It concerns about us. Concerns about Nicodemus. And it basically breaks up into two parts. Salvation explains and salvation outcome. Alright? What does it mean to be in salvation? What is it, put in a simple term on how God, what God means about this salvation when He sent His Son. And then you can see from verse 6 to 18. These three verses, Jesus seems to pose a series of contrasts. Contrast after contrast. When I look at this, it's just that I think it's easier for me to put it on the table for you. In every single verses, there is a contrast. So this contrast actually can be understood as Jesus was trying to pose a series of questions to Nicodemus. Today, I try to draft up this question to you and I as we go through. Let's go through and then see from verse 16, for God so loved the world. Last week we end here, right? I deliberately end here so that I can finish up today with this for you. God sent His only Son to the world so that the contrast is shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now the eternal life here, what is talking about here is talking about eternity with God. It's talking about, not saying that you will live forever on earth, but it's talking about a quality of life that you have in Jesus, that you share like Jesus. Your life, you live like Jesus. It's talking about a life that has a sense of purpose. Why am I born? Why am I here today? Why am I doing what I'm doing today? There's a sense of purpose. There's a sense of mission in this life. And also, there is this in this eternal life. This eternal life is talking about a life that you're walking with God daily. You glorify God through what you do. Remember the kid on Kids Space? We love you, kids. That's why we created this space for you. If you have kids or grandkids at home, by all means, you know, every Sunday we will be showing different things for Kids Space. So this life is that we want to pursue the life of God, pursue the justice of God, pursue the righteousness of God, not on other people, but also on us as well. You know, if you watch a clip, if you've seen the clip actually say you unintentionally actually caused unrighteousness, injustice to yourself, to others. Now what is perish? Perish is simply destroy. All right? Put in another term, the biblical term will be eternally separated from God. So when you look at this, it's just like heaven and hell, what we believe. I don't like to use the term hell. I prefer to use the biblical term, lake of fire. All right? It's either eternity in heaven with God, worshiping God, honoring God, or you'll be thrown in the lake of fire. I don't even want to describe whether, how do you feel when you go into the lake of fire? I guess, I believe that we all know. So what Jesus is trying to pose, I think Jesus is trying to pose a simple question here. Ask, say, how would you rather spend your eternity? Church, comment right now. Put in your statement. Get engaged with your elders. Our elders is doing nothing right now, waiting for you to key in something. Write down something. How would you rather spend your eternity? With or without God? So that is the very first question that we have to ask ourselves. Jesus asked ourselves this morning. Then the second contrast was, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. So simply the contrast, verse 17, is actually elaborating, explain well into why God sent his son. All right, why God sent his son? God sent his son because of his love, right? God sent his son because he wanted to give us eternity, right? And God sent his son is to save the world. So it brings us to the next question. How would you rather God send his son to do? What? All right? If you're sitting on a fence right now thinking, oh, is this God true or not? Let me ask you something. Let's say, assuming that this is true. If God is sending his son, would you rather he send his son to destroy you or save you? That's a question I get when I read the scripture. And the final question that Jesus posed here, he said that whoever believes not condemned, and whoever do not believe stands condemned already. I emphasize on the word already. Look, it means default. All right, before you ever hear the gospel, before you ever know there's such a thing as God or Jesus or anything, by default, all sinners are condemned. You understand that? So God did not choose that path for you. What God has designed is a heaven. God has not designed hell. God has not designed condemnation for you. God designed blessings after blessings. So what this question is posting here, the contrast here, what would you choose for yourself? Curse or bless? I don't know. Which would you choose? Is it hard to choose? You want to curse yourself or you want to bless yourself? I've never come across anyone in my life that said, from today onwards, I'm going to curse myself. Have you? No matter how selfish we are, we always want to bless ourselves. Isn't it? Even when in a selfish way, we still want to bless ourselves. We indulge ourselves with a lot of things. So church, friends, what would you choose? These three questions. Look through the scripture again and have a look and have a talk. The answer is clear, isn't it? God loves us so much that he wants us to be in his family. He wants to love us like his family. Whoever believes in this will embrace in such love. Don't you want this love? All the love that we have, a selfish love. We are love. We love ourselves so much. We are so preoccupied by ourselves. They forget about other things. We forget about loving God, loving other people. But God say no. God give us a special agape. This is the kind of love that's reserved for whoever is in his family. But God has initiated this love and come to you right now and wants you to get into this love and want us so that the path is straight. He only designed one way. There's only one highway to his heaven. So which is going to, what are you going to choose? There's nothing else for you to choose. So by default, if you're not on this road, you're not on the way to God, then you're on the way to somewhere else, which I've got no idea where you are. Assuming that the God Bible does not tell us anything about him. Now, and then it comes to here, with these three questions posed to you, to me, it comes the verdict, and it channels right straight into one path. But it gives us, gives us some contrast and tell us why. You know, why is it? What is at God's heart? Why is this? The verdict here means the final judgment, the final decision. It means that you have been warned. All right? I told you so. So church, if we have been warned in such a way, then we have to know. That means what Jesus is trying to say, this born again is something that you can be sure. How can you be sure? It gives an illustration of the contrast between light and darkness. How do you explain light? You can't. No matter how hard you try, you're always going to miss the point. There's nothing on earth that can define light. But on the other hand, when you look at darkness, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. You can't say light is the absence of darkness. No, it's different. But when you see darkness, it's the absence of light. So when Jesus trying to pose, what Jesus is trying to pose here is that light, meaning him. Remember when Jesus is the light of the world, Jesus is the light of the life. Remember when right at the beginning, this was posted. But and then right here, Jesus said, light has come into the world. He has come into the world. It means Christ. Darkness means a spiritual darkness that we're talking about. This spiritual darkness means that a state whereby you have no life of the Son. You have the Christ life is not in your life. That's a spiritual darkness. So with this spiritual darkness, with this contrast, it allows us to tell you, look, he has come, but you don't love him because of the sin. So I put it into a table here. I think it's not an exhaustive table, but it's a table for you to have. I hopefully it will help you to choose, help you to understand where God wants to put us and where God wants to choose us. If you look on the yellow part, this is the part, this is the way that God has designed. Now, if you go look on the red hot part on that side, this is the side that God has never created. And where does it come from? It comes from our sin. It comes from we created this path for ourselves. Because if you look on that side, it's all about ourselves. We make that choice to go that way. So God has chosen a highway for us, a way to his kingdom. And he has never designed another way. And never designed another path or another road. If he has never designed another road, then what? Where are you going? If you're not on this path, then by default, you are on something else. So if we look at this, but why does it is so obvious here, why do people stumble on this? We stumble because of this. Because everyone who does evil hates light. And will not come into light for fear that his deed will be exposed. The key word here is exposed. How would you like to be naked? I can be naked in my shower, but not naked in front of you, right? As close as I can is to go to a swimming pool with my swimming trunk. But even again, I still would like to put on my t-shirt because I'm no longer having my six-pack. But church, exposed is a difficult, is a hard word here. We stumble on all those things because of we are afraid. We have fear of being exposed. Let me tell you, let's go back to this very first page, very first story of the Bible. The very first man, they did that. They were the pioneer of this. All right. The moment they rebelled against God, they sinned against God, they found themselves naked. They look at each other in the eye. They never see each other the same way ever. And they were afraid. Afraid of what? Because at that point in time, our first man, our first human, they were living with God. They were living under God's grace, God's protection and provision. And they were afraid because they had rebelled against God. They knew it. And when God came and looked for them, what happened to them? They covered themselves with fig tree. But God showed grace to them. How? God said, "Nah, get rid of your all those leaves. I'll give you a skin garment." That means a leather jacket. That's God's grace. God put on. That was the first time evidence, first sacrifice ever be made. Because without sacrifice, there's no animal skin. Now, 10 generations later, the same thing, the wickedness of human has gone so right up at the top of the peak that God has to send a flood to destroy it. God do not want to destroy man. He wants to destroy the wickedness. He wants to destroy all the unjust, all the injustice. So he sent for that. And guess what? The moment when he called Noah to make the ark, he gave humankind another 120 years to repent. And Noah became the most successful preacher in the world. Why? Because he preached for 120 years and no one came to Christ. No one came to Jesus. No one came to the ark except his whole family, a family of 8, including himself. I guess as a father figure, he has the authority. I'm not sure whether his whole family came to Christ. Yeah, came to, but they were saved by the ark. You see this? This is happening again and again. We sin and God show grace. We sin, God show grace. Why? Because God was moved by his love. God was motivated to act on his love. That's why we got all this. Today we come to the point, it's the same here today, church. You come, you see the very last verse. Say, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. See, only God people are able to discern what is from God. So what he's trying to say here is that, look, this is the evidence of you being born again. You ask yourself, we ask ourselves, are you living by the truth today? What is the truth? The teaching of God. Are you reading your Bible? If you're not reading your Bible, of course I can't tell you what is the truth, right? The truth is all in the Bible. Read about it. The righteousness, the ethical value. But the only truth that we are concerned about is that you live by the truth. Who is the truth? That's Jesus. You live by Jesus. You live by his life. Live by his teaching. When you do that, you come into the light. Then I tell you, you don't need to have doubt in your faith anymore. Because why? Because it can be seen. You have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It can be seen through what you've done. This is the work of God. So it's your life, the work of God today. It's what you are doing. What are we doing today? Resemblance, reveal, magnify the glory of God. Let's close this. I ask you the same question. What is it for you, church? Friend, where are you at today? Right now, where are you at? Which category are you? I welcome you to call me, to email me. You got all the contacts you can get. Later on the screen, at the end, you will see a screen of prayer email. If you can't get my personal email or my work email, it doesn't matter. There is at least a link, an email that will get to church. All right? I promise you, you'll get to church. Someone will forward to me if you mention that you need a prayer. I love to pray with you, for those, especially for those people who are here for the first time. You want to be born again. You want to receive this salvation. I love to pray with you. Please send us an email. God wants you to have this love. And God loves you, whether you're a disciple or backslider or seeker. You see that love that God has for all of us? He wants us to tap into that different kind of love that He reserved for His children. You see that? God is so desperate that He sent His Son to die for us. That means He's dying for us, for you, for me, to get into His family. Church, where are you at right now? Finally, I'm going to close off with a prayer. Before I close off with a prayer, I want to introduce the next song called Majesty. I love this song. The moment I heard about it, I fell in love with the song. I fell in love with the lyrics, especially during the chorus. When they say, when they sing Majesty, Majesty, Your grace came upon me just as I am. It just makes my tears came out. Why? Because Jesus received me while I was still a sinner. Jesus received me while I was still an evil, wicked man. Where are you at? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for initiating this love, initiating your salvation, because you love us. Because you want us to be part of your family, that we are so blind in whatever we're doing, and we're hiding from you, running away from you. Father, today, I ask that your Spirit will move us, whether in the church or whoever that is listening or watching, I ask that your Spirit will move each and every one of us. And will be come here and sing the song and say, God, here I am. I'm here humble before this majesty. Humble before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who designed heaven. The one who designed this born again salvation. Father, I ask that your Spirit move us in such a way that we are certain that where we are at, that we know we will follow you until the end, until your coming. And thank you for all this grace. As for whatever is coming, we thank God that today, hopefully there will be more good news from the government, that we are able to reach out. For whatever reason, whether lockdown or whether we are open, we still know that we are your children, and we've been blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.